E2. Number 6A.
So now you can see what was going on in the mind of John Dorley, that he could see that he had two categories, synonymous terms, and the calculus, and both had the same purpose within themselves, namely to bring something from an initial stage to the point of fulfillment. And so it could see, well, if I have the word order, starting with mind and ending with love, what is it that drives mind to spirit and spirit to soul and soul to principle and principle to life and life to love and love to truth to love? What is that driving force that is at work, that from the point of initial enlightenment in mind does no more rest until it finds its complete effulgence and fulfillment in love? And it could see, well, that's really the calculus, because that's the office of the calculus, of where Christ, Christianity and science to do that. So he could easily see that the calculus is interwoven in the word order, just as it is in the Christ order and in the Christianity order. So he began to wonder where the word enters and the Christ enters and Christianity enters and science enters into that word order. And so I give you the reasoning that he made. So perhaps you take a big sheet of paper again, page, separate one, and you write down, say at the top horizontally, our calculus, the word, then Christ, Christianity, and science, and say beneath the word, you write down, vertically down, the word order, namely mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So this is the starting point, as I said. You have those two categories at work, and we consider now the word order and see what is at work in that word order when we ask ourselves, what is the office of the word in it? What is the office of the Christ subtone in it? What is the office of the Christianity subtone in it? And what is the office of the science subtone in it? What drives mind to the point of love? And in order to do that, he weighed the meaning of those synonymous terms along the word line, the creative line of the word, and was always asking himself the following question, which you have to keep in mind or you cannot understand the next hour or two. He always asked himself, what is the minimum of synonymous terms which are needed to symbolize one of those four phases, to symbolize with synonymous term word, Christ, Christianity, science? Always the minimum, because the maximum, as we have seen, are the four orders. That's the maximum. But what is necessary as a minimum so that the word can be developed into the Christ and the Christ into Christianity and then to science? So reason with me, and I try to do it as slowly as possible, because I know it takes quite some thinking and spiritual thinking, spiritual touch, and actually it needs a very workable knowledge of the seven synonymous terms and needs a workable knowledge of the four. So you could see that the Word must act as the Word first, so the subtone of the Word. And what is the minimum of synonyms that is necessary in order to state a reasonable basis for the creative Word? And it could see that the minimum would be mind, spirit, and soul. Why? Because for the creative Word, if he would only take mind, which is the creator, he would have no sure basis. Because that mind, all is mind, does not yet say what nature of all is meant by it. If that all meant spirit and matter, or matter. So at least we have to define that mind, that creative mind, as being only spirit and not spirit and matter. And even if we would see that, he had to see that this does not give us yet a sure foundation, because it doesn't yet say that this is actually a basis that lasts. Only when I see that mind as a basis, which is only spirit, is unchangeable, then only I have found a sure foundation. Once it touches the three, then it has found a sure foundation, which is unchangeable. So it could see the creative basis of the Word is that at least we are thinking from the ordered line of mind, spirit, and soul, that without this first creative order, we would not have a sure foundation. So you know that if in a certain situation where you have to solve something, you say to yourself, well, I can't solve it any other way but first to turn to the one mind. That all is mind, and mind is capital M. What does that mean? That I have only to do with the mind that is spirit and not with the material situation. And we would have to see at least that what mind creates of the nature of spirit is the unchangeable identity of being. That does not change. That does not come and go. And then you feel to have a sure foundation of creative thinking. So at that point, nothing yet happened. It is a statement. There is no Christ operation in it. There is no outcome in it. It's just actually the pure Word. And so it is the Word as the Word which we get first, really the cornerstone, so to say, and say every reasoning must start out from the basis of mind, spirit, soul as our ordered way of thinking. Until we don't start with that, nothing happens in the realm of reality. So he asked him now, what is the Christ office in this world order? So what is the relationship of the Christ when considering the further development of this world order? And so he had naturally to have a very fine and cultured sense of what the Christ has to do in the world order, namely the Christ had really to bring out something. You see, the Christ is always the expression. So what is the minimum of synonymous term that is needed in order to see that the basis of reality, of mind, spirit, soul, brings out itself, brings out that Christ selfhood, so that it is not just being the creator, but also showing its expression as the creator bringing forth its creation. And so he could see that the minimum of synonymous term he needed was that he could see that only then when we identify our basis through soul with the divine principle of being, that unity, that Immanuel of coincidence, that only then when we see that this basis is absolutely identified with a divine operative principle, that only then that principle would bring out life, would bring out its identity in a living way. So here you could see that soul, principle, life would be the minimum to depict the Word as the Christ. And you feel what it is meant, you see. You feel at once that with soul, principle, life, something is happening. That's the Christ expression. Because life is the aim of the Creator, so that the Creator brings out something. But He cannot bring out something until we see that the Word as the Word is identified with a self-operative principle, with principle. And that principle, because it is self-operative, is bringing forth, is expressing something. And that is life, life expression. Then he was asking himself, but what is the Christianity office in that word? Christianity in you had to do with the outcome, at the point of outcome, at the point of some kind of demonstration that would come out from the Word as the Christ. And he could see that the outcome would be that every individual situation would have the form of truth, that everything would happen, so to say, in the line of that which is right, in the line of truth. That everything that the Christ would bring forth through soul, principle, life would bring out in an individual way, life in an individual way would bring out the truth of everything. So he could see that at least he would need life and truth to symbolize the Word as Christianity, showing what? Actually, that the Creator, which is the Word, has a creation, the outcome. What is that creation? That everything there is life, everything there is life, is actually factual, is true, so that you had no error in that creative process, life and truth. What about science? When we take in science and ask now, what is actually the minimum that must be brought out as the creative word, the logos? Science is always a state of being where you just feel it must bring out the beingness of the word. And you know that the beingness of the word is that God declares himself and says, I am Father, Son and Mother, my Trinity. That's my beingness. That's my person. So he could see that life, truth and love would symbolize the Word as science, the Word as science, the Trinity of God. Life, truth, love. That's what Mrs. Eddy introduced, really, that Trinity, and said, here we have really that omnipotent God, and that omnipotence is shown that everything is with God and that all things are with God, and with God all is possible. Bringing out the beingness of the Word. All right, let's just think it over again and get the flow of it. We have always seen that the word order hinges on its middle point of the principle, that mind, spirit, soul actually give us the nature of that principle. and that the essence of that principle is what? Life, truth, and love. That principle actually is not interested in the first place to demonstrate mind, spirit, soul. That principle is interested in demonstrating life, beingness, truth, the factuality of being, and love, the completion and perfection of being. That's what we want to demonstrate. Actually, I've never seen anybody who wants to demonstrate mind, spirit, and soul as the climax of demonstration. All what we want is that we have life, and life abundantly, and that life is of the nature of factuality, so that it cannot be overthrown, and that life which is factual is so perfect that we really feel we have a jolly good time. Nothing, no disharmony in it, no inharmony in it. Now, here we see how the proposition is the word as the word. It says, yes, you cannot have the demonstration of life, truth, and love without having first a true proposition. Namely, if we do not build in our consciousness on mind and spirit and soul, if we build on mortal mind or human mind, we can never have life, truth, and love. If we build on matter or the mingling of spirit and matter, we can never have life, truth, and love. And if we are not building on the one soul and therefore are building on our sentiments and our psyche and our psychological reactions, we can never have true life, truth, and love. So the building stone, the ordered way in which we have to start, is first to demonstrate that we build on mind and spirit and soul before we have any chance that the Christ comes in and says, on this basis I can operate, soul, principle, life. Says, if that basis of mind, spirit, soul is your principle, and by saying is your, I say is identified, soul, with that principle, is your principle, then that principle begins to live, to operate. Soul, principle, life. And when that word as the Christ begins to operate on that sure foundation of mind, spirit, soul, then what does it bring forth? Then that Christ lines up everything in one's experience, lines up everything what we live, life. Lines up everything so that what comes out is a fact of being, is factual. So you have life and truth. For what purpose at all? And we know science is impersonal. Science, therefore, is not interested in giving only us demonstrations, life and truth. But that science says that whole creative order operates just for one great glory, namely to prove God as what He is. And He is the omnipotent God, life, truth, and love, the person of God. So you have life, truth, and love. Yeah? I hope you don't get it. Or I would think, why did it take me so long to get it? Well, this sounds like malpractice, doesn't it? All right. When John Dolly has weighed this line of thinking, he thought, couldn't I pinpoint these four findings? And may I find a term that would indicate just with one term what the combination of those synonymous terms imply? So he felt the word as a word were really the order. I called it order, meaning it was the creative order of approaching a subject. So he just called it order, but we know what it means. He always just tried to find a single term and not just the whole sentence. But what he meant with that order, that unless we go through that spiritual order in our consciousness, starting with mind and seeing that mind is spirit, and that that mind which is spirit is unchangeable as soul, that if we don't go through that order of consciousness, we have not started rightly. So he called it ordered or creative order. The word as Christianity he defined as identity. Why? He could see that even if we start with the divine order of mind, spirit, soul, we must see that this is identified with a principle, and then principle identifies our life. See, this is the pivotal point, so to say, where the identity with principle brings an identity of principle with our lives. It's the identity principle which he could show here. Soul is that which identifies everything with principle, and life says that principle identifies itself individually, in infinite individuality, in everybody's life. Then, word as Christianity, he called line. And this seems at first quite a funny term. And so I must go back to some of Mrs. Eddy's writings in order to explain this extraordinary term, because we will see the further terms later on too. Namely, Mrs. Eddy speaks in Miscellaneous Writings on page 22. She says that Christian Science is the infinite calculus, see the four, defining what? And she gives those four that indicate the calculus. Defining the line, plane, space, and fourth dimension of spirit. She could see that calculus, when seen from a certain aspect, is giving us those four spiritual dimensions. The dimension of line, the dimension of space, the dimension of plane, third, the dimension of space, and fourth, the dimension of the fourth dimension of spirit. So here we have the first dimension, the line. Now this line has nothing to do with a geometrical line, but that which is between two points. It is the line of light that she's showing that the Christ will, as its outcome, always line up every experience, every living experience to the truth, will always lead in the line of light to the point of truth. That's what John Dolly meant here. Then the word as science, he called omnipotence. So you can write that down, omnipotence. Again, I have to say why. And again, I have to go back to Mrs. Eddy's writings. And in the glossary, she defines good. How? She says, good is God, and then gives four adjectives, namely, no, they are nouns, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. So he could see that the biblical definition of good also gives the calculus sense, and the first one is the omnipotence. Really, that's the word. The word first states the very essence of God, which says there is only one God, and that God is omnipotent, and with God all things are possible. So that's the creative word in its climax, that it says that God is the omnipotent God, because with God all things are possible. So he called it "Word a Science Which Gives the Person of God." Now, he couldn't say the person, because person is anthropomorphic term. So he called it, really, in its metaphysical sense, or in scientific sense, he called it omnipotent God, omnipotence. Yes. So this is how he reasoned out the word. And actually, it is something that each one has to sit back, be quiet, and use those long nights, winter nights, and think about it, what it means. There's something very impressive about the teaching of Christian Science, the way I do it.